All right. Happy Monday and welcome to your Newsmax Daily from March the 4th, 2024. The 64th day of the year, the 75th day of winter with 15 more to go until it's officially spring. And a lot of folks are really looking forward to it. It's the first of four Mondays this month and National Sons Day. A big day for people like me that have sons, created to celebrate the importance of raising boys who are future fathers, leaders, and role models. Basically, not to make the same dumb mistakes that we made, right? And to be better people than we are. There is no particular reason that I could find for National Sons Day being in March other than the creators wanting to separate it enough from National Daughters Day, which is in September. In the news this Monday, Nikki Haley celebrating her first presidential primary win Sunday in Washington, D.C. after former President Donald Trump swept events this weekend in Michigan, Missouri, and Idaho, doubling his delegate count to 247. If you're a little confused by Michigan, it's okay. So are a lot of other people. Michigan had a primary vote last week, which you probably remember. When you heard about Michigan over the weekend, you're like, didn't they already have a primary? Yes, which was open to all voters. Trump won that. But then on Saturday, they had a Republican caucus convention that only allowed Republicans to caucus. In Missouri, Trump won every one of the state's 114 counties. Nikki Haley didn't pick up a single delegate on Saturday. Sunday's win in the Democratic District of Columbia gives Haley a total of 43 delegates now. And it does make her the first woman ever to win a Republican presidential primary. So history was made. On his Truth Social platform, Trump dubbed Haley the Queen of the Swamp. And campaigning over the weekend, Trump hardly even mentioned Haley while he dialed in on President Biden and immigration.
We're not going to have one more innocent American life. It just can't. We can't let this go on. Migrant crime is going to be at a level that we've never seen crime before. We have bad crime, but now you can add this to it. They've let 15 million people. I'll tell you, that's what I think the number is, and I think it's going to be 18 million by the time we get the worst president in our history out of office. This is why a central question in this election is whether the foreign armies of Joe Biden has smuggled across our border. He's letting armies of people come in. Military age. They smuggle them across our border. They walk into our border. They don't even have to smuggle anymore. For a while, they were smuggling. Now they're not smuggling. They just walk across and do whatever they want. We are not going to allow them to stay in our country. We don't want to see what's going on. Why is it? We're going to get them out. We're going to take them out, get out and go home. But we're going to, if we have to, we're going to get them home, or we're going to have to do worse than that. I don't want to fill up our prisons. I don't want to fill up our prisons. You know, our prisons are already full with other people's prisoners. You have to see the prison population all over the world is at the lowest point it's been in many decades because they're dumping their prisoners into our country. Doesn't this stupid guy understand this? And it makes sense. It makes so much sense. If I were running Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, or the Congo, or any country, Brazil, a lot coming in from Brazil, a lot coming in from Venezuela. Nothing more expensive than storing a prisoner in a jail for 60 years. But of course, they don't spend quite as much as us. They spend very little. When you go in those jails, it's the worst that you can imagine. But how does he allow this to happen? Anybody would say it. I said it a long time ago. As soon as I heard what they were doing, I said, oh, they're going to end up emptying. I know all these guys. I know many of them. And they're very streetwise, smart people. You know, they're streetwise. Joe's not streetwise. Joe is just a dumb guy. He's a dumb guy. Nobody respects him. He's lost. And again, I never talked about him until I got indicted four times on charges that should have never been brought. These are all Biden indictments. If Joe Biden's illegal alien migrants do not go back to their countries, we will never get our country back. So if you elect Donald J. Trump on November 5th, most important day in our history, remember that. I promise you they'll be going back to their countries.
Donald Trump speaking at a Get Out the Vote rally in Virginia Saturday, where he spoke about the recent murder of Georgia college student Lincoln Riley and other victims of crimes committed by illegal migrants.
Last week, a beautiful 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia, beautiful, beautiful girl. I spoke with her parents yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful person. Lincoln Riley was barbarically attacked while she was out on a morning run. She wanted to keep herself in great shape. Beautiful person. She was brutally assaulted, horrifically beaten, kidnapped, and savagely murdered. Almost beyond recognition. Almost beyond recognition. The monster charged in her death is an illegal alien migrant who was led into our country and released into our communities by crooked Joe Biden. Wouldn't have come in because we had a very tough policy on, especially the criminals. We were watching them all. We had the best, we had the safest border in the history of our country. Now we have the worst border in the history of the world. We mourn this terrible loss and we send our love to Lakin's family. I spoke with the mother and the father. The devastation is just like incredible. What can you say? You know, it's hard to talk to people. They've just been devastated. The thing that the person, the element of life that they love the most was just taken away from them, taken away. Maybe in heaven they meet again, maybe in heaven. But other than that, there's no hope of ever seeing her again. And she was beautiful. The mother said, oh, she was such a good student. She was the best nurse in her class. She was going to be a great nurse. I said, I know. So devastating. Had the funeral. And it's just, they can never be the same. Just last month in suburban Maryland outside Washington, D.C., a two-year-old boy was out walking with his mother in a public park when they were caught in the crossfire of a gun battle between two vicious thugs. That two-year-old boy was struck. A bullet struck him in a very bad location. The illegal alien migrant charged with his murder had been previously arrested multiple times by different police forces and released every time under Montgomery County, Maryland sanctuary law, very liberal laws in Montgomery County, as you probably know. His murder is blood in the hands of Joe Biden and every Democrat who fought to preserve sanctuary cities. They're very dangerous. They're very bad. Very bad.
Trump even worked in a shot at Gavin Newsom, just in case Newsom should replace Biden as the Democratic presidential nominee.
I have a new name for Gavin Newsom. I have a new name. You know what it is, right? Does anybody know what it is? New scum. Gavin Newsom. I don't know if it's good or bad. We'll find out. I'd love to run against him, actually. This guy says, California's doing so well. It's not doing well. It's doing horribly, actually. Now, Gavin Newsom.
Tomorrow is Super Tuesday, with primary votes taking place in 15 states, one of those states being Colorado, where Trump was removed from the primary ballot. The Supreme Court announcing Sunday that it would release one more opinion today, which is likely going to be a ruling on Colorado's ballot eligibility, so that is going to be big today. And ahead of Super Tuesday, there's actually a caucus going on in North Dakota today. Remember Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, was a former or is a former GOP presidential candidate. He spoke with our Tom Basile on America Right Now.
Governor, you were on that stage earlier in this process. How does the party unite following what may be the end of this primary season that we're going to be witnessing on Tuesday?
Well, it's important every day that everybody's not united behind President Trump is a day that Joe Biden is successfully having to not defend his horrific record on economy, energy, national security, border security, you name it. And so the sooner the better. I mean, the primary's over. I had an opportunity to be with President Trump in Iowa, in New Hampshire, and in Nevada on those stages. And I said it each time, the race is already over. It was over then. It's over now. It'll be over on Super Tuesday. And we're having a caucus on Monday ahead of Super Tuesday in North Dakota. So he will sweep North Dakota on Monday before he sweeps all the other states on Tuesday. And we've just got to get focused on beating Joe Biden and making sure Joe Biden's a one-term president.
Former GOP presidential candidate Doug Burgum on America Right Now with Tom Basile, who also spoke with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson about uniting the party and replacing Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell.
And I mean no disrespect to the senator, but he wasn't terribly popular. He was criticized for not being a very effective communicator either. So you see this as an opportunity. There's a short list of potential successors that have been discussed in recent days. They include Texas Senator John Cornyn, North Dakota Senator John Thune, and Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, Florida Senator Rick Scott, and Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, also Montana Senator Steve Daines. Senator Cornyn has already officially announced his bid. In your opinion, who should become the face of the Republican Party at this point in the Senate, and what is that message? You lay it out kind of in a broad stroke, but if you had to tell the American people, what is it that person really should focus on, what would that be?
Well, first, let me say, I don't envy whether it's the Speaker of the House or minority or majority leader their task. It's not easy herding cats, so it's a very difficult job. From my standpoint, I want to drive a process. I'm trying to lead that process of developing that mission statement, those goals, so that in that process, leaders will emerge. Now, obviously, I backed Rick Scott, who has a phenomenal background. He was raised in poverty, really is a self-made man, ran the largest hospital corporation in America, successful governor of Florida, and now is a real ally in the Senate. He has certainly led. He's shown his ability to lead. But again, I want to go through that process. I don't want us to immediately turn to a popularity contest and start counting votes. You have to go through the process of figuring out what direction now is our conference going to go into. I'm certainly looking for a leader, a more collaborative process. There are a lot of smart people in our conference. Their skill sets have not necessarily been used very well in the past. So a more collaborative governing model for our conference. But again, a very strong mission statement that adheres to the principles. We need to promote and defend freedom, free markets, the Constitution, while at the same time providing, an effective counter to the destruction that is occurring under Democrat governance.
That's Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, who also had this to say about Congress in general.
I come from the private sector. In business, you almost have to have a mission statement. You need to establish goals. Everybody in the organization needs to understand their role in achieving that mission and accomplishing those goals. That's not what Congress is. I mean, Congress is completely dysfunctional. And part of the problem is so many bureaucrats, so many staff members, so many members of Congress, they have no knowledge of, no experience in, very little sympathy for the private sector. But even worse, they've never even been part of a functioning organization.
Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin on America Right Now with Tom Basile. That's Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock Eastern, part of the Newsmax must-watch weekend lineup. And a new New York Times Siena College poll shows that 73% of all registered voters believe President Biden is too old to be an effective president. 61% of the people who voted for Biden in 2020 now say he's too old, while 15% of former President Trump's 2020 supporters say the same about him. Biden's most recent gaffe, mixing up Ukraine and Gaza.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies into Ukraine.
And critics of Trump are pointing to this comment that he made over the weekend.
Putin, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear word.
Now, did Trump really mean to say Biden and accidentally said Obama? Or is he insinuating, like many people, that Obama is still running the White House, pulling the strings of Joe Biden? We'll never really know. But this is the reality.
I feel like I have to vote for Biden again because I really cannot stand Trump. I'm a physician. And I really, like, abortion is something I really care about.
That is a North Carolina voter speaking to ABC News. And she's a doctor, and she has no choice but to vote for Biden because she hates Trump so much. vote for RFK Jr. or don't vote at all. And over the weekend, you may have seen that the United States began dropping humanitarian aid into Gaza for Palestinians amid reports of more civilians being killed by an Israeli airstrike. Vice President Kamala Harris, speaking at the annual commemoration of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama yesterday, called for an immediate temporary ceasefire in Gaza to release hostages and get more aid to Palestinian civilians.
The Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid.
And don't forget, a vote for Joe is a vote for President Kamala Harris. There's no two ways around it. According to Israeli media, Israel is demanding Hamas turn over a full list of living hostages before any ceasefire deal will move forward. Today marks the 150th day of the war in Gaza. Harris is meeting with a member of Israel's war cabinet today, where she is expected to push for more humanitarian aid into Gaza. President Biden, meanwhile, is still at Camp David, and the White House calendar shows no events scheduled for the president today. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrisey is joining the list of those calling for Vice President Harris to invoke the 25th Amendment and remove President Biden from office because he is unable to perform the duties of the office. AG Morrisey spoke with Lydia Serrani over the weekend.
Now, if you look at how Joe Biden was just a few years ago to how he is now, I mean, forget about the physical capabilities that we're seeing, the slipping and, you know, the stumbling up the stairs. Mentally, that's what the focus is here. The DOJ's own report saying that Biden is, quote, an elderly man with a poor memory. You tell me, this is not how the leader of the free world should be described, especially by the Department of Justice. I mean, this is a matter of national security at this point.
But I think it is, and that's what the 25th Amendment is all about. It's supposed to ensure that there is a competent person in place in the office of presidency at all times. And to the extent that someone no longer is mentally competent to discharge the duties of the office, then he or she shouldn't be there. And it's really that simple. And I thought that the special counsel report really helped bring this issue home. Because if you have a special counsel saying that they'd be afraid to bring a prosecution against Joe Biden because the person wouldn't be mentally competent enough to be convicted, then how on earth is that same person mentally competent enough to discharge his duties as president? So I think that you can't have it both ways if you're the Biden administration. And this issue needs to be discussed more and more. It's very serious. And let me address something. No one wants Kamala Harris to be the president, but I think it's important that when you have someone who utterly can't perform from a mental perspective, that it's time to get that guy out of there.
West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrisey on Newsmax with Lydia Serrani. On Wall Street this week, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell will give his semi-annual report, which is going to be all about interest rates, of course, and it could tank the markets. And then on Friday, we have the February jobs report, which almost always is a market mover, one direction or the other. Be sure to keep up with all the news today on Newsmax, available on most major cable systems like AT&T, Comcast, DirecTV, and Dish, Mediacom, Spectrum, Suddenlink, and many others. And make sure you're getting the new Newsmax Plus. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com. You can get a free trial. It includes all of your favorite shows and hosts like Rob Schmidt Tonight, The Balance with Eric Bolling, Greg Kelly Reports, Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, Bianca De La Garza, Wake Up America, and analysis from people like Governor Mike Huckabee, Tony Schaefer, KT McFarlane, Alan Dershowitz, documentaries, special programs, and more. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Newsmax Daily. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Hope you have a fantastic week, and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.